Giants fans, welcome to Big Blue All Day, the podcast that brings you New York football Giants content all day long. While your hosts toe-tap the line between podcast professionals and a bunch of fanatics talking shit at the end of the bar. Don't forget to check out our print content at bigblueallday.com and rate and subscribe wherever podcasts are found. Adult content ahead, because you know, we're doing it live. Mac is back in the power chair, and on the line we have Disciple and Rahway Tommy. Tonight's episode, we are going to react to the Giants' narrow loss in Minneapolis. As always, we will convene the Daniel Jones court and look ahead to the win and in scenario against the withering Indianapolis Colts as they come to town. Gentlemen, there are no moral victories in the NFL. Tell me I'm wrong, though, that this is the most positive that I have felt after a Giants loss in a very, very long time. Went toe-to-toe with these boys and missed out on a very predictable long field goal. But tell me how I'm wrong. I'm jacked up still. Like, yeah, let's go.
I feel good, honestly. Like, there was a scenario in which the Vikings totally blew us out, like 41-0, and it didn't actually happen. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for Justin Jefferson not going absolutely crazy. Yeah, he got himself a touchdown. Yeah, he had some yards. TJ Hawkins are killing us. Was unfortunate. But honestly, you know, what was it, 27-24 was the final score? I mean, dude, we punched above our weight class that game. We were kind of outmatched. A lot of people came to play. You had Landon Collins making plays in coverage. I mean, good old-fashioned Barkley touchdown. You had how about Isaiah Hodgins and Daniel Jones connecting? I mean, there's a lot of positive takeaways from this game.
Eight for 89 and a touchdown by Mr. Isaiah Hodgins.
That is that's what you expect from a wide receiver one, I gotta say.
Our second leading wide receiver, Richie James, coming in for 8 and 90. We'll talk about him later. I digress. Tommy, what'd you see, man? Are you jacked up? Like, what's going on over there?
Yeah, you're quiet. After the 15-minute cool off period where you're just like, we should have won. We were there. We should have won. I had the same thoughts. I'm going, there's no moral victories, but all of a sudden, after the tears went away, because the guy drills what would have been probably a 65-yard field goal.
You might have hit that from the other end zone.
We played with these guys, you know, and hey, who knows? We may see him again in a few weeks if everything goes the way we want it to be. And now, you know, it's a situation we've been in before as fans, not this team. Now we know we could play with this team that we're watching our guys go out. Jefferson did what he does, 12 for 133, but he didn't kill us except for he had three big plays, and that's what good players do. He's the best receiver in the league, and Hockenson did the damage, but Hodgins looked like a number one receiver, 8 for 89, the touchdown. He could make 3-4 plays in a row. It was like Daniel Jones wasn't looking anywhere else in a good way. Daniel Jones making throws that, you know, into tight windows that weren't windows of you're cringing and going, that could have been intercepted. It was our guy's ball or no one was catching it, and he was getting it in there. So, I mean, his numbers, he threw for 334 yards, ran for 34. It seemed like he ran for more because I think they were important yards when he was picking them up. Jalen Smith looked like he was at Notre Dame again, or his rookie year, you know, once he was healthy with the Cowboys. Landon Collins looked to be like the Landon Collins before he left us for Washington. You know, and then the defensive line of, you know, Leo, Dex, Kayvon, Aziz, you know, all having a sack, all having, you know, multiple tackles for a loss. At the beginning of the game, I see Mark Schlereth and I'm going, oh, you know, the old Washington Redskin in him, he doesn't like us. He said they know who they are and they shrink the game and make it ugly. And that defense and the run would be what would keep us in the game. And we were in the game. It was a good, well-played football game that, you know, we had some bad breaks, obviously didn't go our way. But who's
so real quick, Tommy, just to jump in there, you talk about bad breaks, and we'll get to the negatives. There were warts. This is a loss after all, despite how you know, happy we all sound right now. But I think consistently throughout the entire year, this podcast and really all of the news has been talking about the Giants being in a talent deficit. And no doubt that was the same this past Sunday. You just said some of the names on that team we would kill for their fourth receiver, who would be our number one probably. But anyways, point being, the narrative has been that the Giants have to play mistake-free football, right? Can't beat themselves on penalties, can't lose the turnover battle, can't be making all these drops. The Giants did every single one of those things on Sunday. Multiple drops, Richie James being the most egregious one. Two turnovers. You can
Bellinger fumble, man.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
the worst possible time. They were driving. They looked good.
And the punt block, you could count as a third turnover.
Yes, absolutely.
The Giants beat themselves in every phase of the game on Sunday, and we're still a career-long field goal away from taking the number two seed in the NFC to overtime. Like, that's impressive to me.
Yeah, they did things. They recovered from these penalties, these drops. Obviously, the blocked punt. I'll tell you, the one big mistake out of all of them, even bigger than I thought the blocked punt was, the offsides when we were just on the 20, maybe just outside. We're moving the ball. I think we're going to score a touchdown. We end up with a field goal. You know, things like that, but we recovered from them. We were in the game, you know, and who's to say what's going to happen in overtime if that kick goes wide or comes up short. But, you know, we played with the number two seed in the, you know, NFC. You know, who knows? They dropped to the three. We secure the six. We could see a rematch.
Well, and not just played with them, Tommy, but I would have to look at all of the stats, but I have to say from an eye test that this was the most prolific the Giants offense have looked. I believe the Vikings have a top five, if not top four offense. The Giants outpace them 445
yards. Yeah.
Yeah. 445 total yards to 350. Like, they beat them up in almost every statistical category, except for, again, as we said, you know, we weren't great on third downs, 3 for 11, and the penalty yards, 7 for 63 to 2 to their 14. And then obviously the turnovers as discussed. Well, also two quick questions, because we're snake bitten. The Giants are snake bitten, and fingers crossed it's not as bad as you look. But Azeez Ojulari, I mean, talk about this pass rush over the last 3 weeks when the Giants actually have their entire defensive line. I wish I'd written the stat down, but it's something along. Say again.
They pretty much had a better pass rush in the last 3 weeks than they did the entire season leading up to the last 3 weeks.
Did you see that post? It was something like the amount of pressures and sacks.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's nearly been doubled in 3 weeks compared to it was like 20 sacks for the first how many ever games and then 16 in the last three games. But Ojulari got an ankle injury, didn't play the second half. It sounds like it's quote unquote a basketball ankle, which whatever. I think the point is it's not the dreaded high ankle sprain. So there's optimism he's going to be back. All right, let's pivot to Saquon Barkley real quick, and then we'll do quick hitters on these mistakes and go ahead and convene the court. So Saquon Barkley, 14 carries, 84 yards, an average of 6 and a touchdown, looking explosive, had a decent game. What do we feel about the game plan going in that Jones had 42 attempts to Saquon Barkley's 14 carries in a game that was close throughout? How do we feel about that?
They were also getting him the ball in the passing game too. So that would have upped his touches, but you would think we're getting that best player the ball as much as we can.
That's true. He had 8 receptions for 49 yards. So, you know, in a minimum, he had 22 touches. I'm not sure if there were any drops or attempts that weren't completed. There was at least one on a swing route that didn't get completed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I think the passing game is starting to evolve a little bit. Not that the Vikings. I mean, dude, you know, the interception. Patrick Peterson made a great play on that ball. He's still a great cornerback, man. He's older, but he's still got it, man. You know, that was a good play by him. Not necessarily. It was a mistake by Daniel Jones. Maybe he shouldn't have thrown it, but Peterson really jumped the route.
Yeah, so he's still going to make a play. You know,
do you feel like Isaiah Hodgins sort of let up on that ball? I feel like he could have played a little defense.
He kind of did. I feel like he did sort of like slow down and like kind of didn't like see him coming and kind of froze. But listen, the thing about Isaiah Hodgins is I really like this kid. He's only 24 years old. He's getting better with every snap. Every game he's in a Giants uniform, he's getting better. He's caught, 3 touchdowns already? 3 touchdowns in 4 weeks? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and what's as good as any about, other Giants receiver, man.
What's huge about guys like Hodgins is he's going to come cheap. You know, he's going to get a little more money, you know, I'm sure. But these guys are the guys that we need to fill out the roster when you have to pay Saquon Barkley, when you have to pay Dexter Lawrence. And not to get ahead, but when we get into the court, if we pay Daniel Jones, you're paying all these guys. And this is where Shane and Daboll are doing a good job. They're identifying this talent that isn't going to cost as much and is outplaying guys that, you know, are making millions and millions of dollars more than they are that may be gone next year.
Well, Tommy, I'm going to take your cue, but I'll end it with this before we move on. Thank Gettleman for Dexter Lawrence is all I'm going to say. That man is the number two rated defensive lineman, not interior defensive lineman. He is number two ranked behind Myles Garrett in the entire NFL of defensive linemen. The man is an absolute beast. And Kayvon, Leo, Aziz, and Dexter, I do believe, are all signed for next year. We got reinforcements coming back. That is exciting. Now,
very.
Let's move into our weekly segment, the Daniel Jones Court. Daniel Jones' entire season is an audition to be the long-term answer. Jones is now 8-6-1. However, until a new contract is signed, the jury is still out. Right now, Roadhouse, give me a Are You Not Entertained drop.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Disciple, I told you, you better be ready for this recording because I'm coming to you now. What do you want from this kid? Last week you said, I got to see, he's got to go out and beat the Vikings. I got to see him put up the numbers. My guy had an over 70% completion rating, 30 for 42, 334 yards, a TD. Yes, he had the pick. He also had 34 yards rushing, 8.5 average. What do you want, good sir?
What do I want? If I'm being honest, I mean, I've come to terms with the fact that they're probably going to stick with him. I don't want to. Is he a game manager or a game changer? Answer me that right now.
I think he can be a game changer. He is being asked not to be a game manager. He is a talent manager right now. This dude is being asked to play within the confines of the system, given the talent that is around them. And he is executing it flawlessly, nearly. He is a talent manager, not a game manager.
Wow. You're just Merriam-Webster over here coining phrases.
Yeah, what the hell are you going to do with that, huh? What are you?
I just don't want to overpay, man. I really don't.
Okay, somebody's, so now the discussion has come. Now it's not he will be paid.
I believe after yesterday, Saturday, I believe after Saturday, I think we're probably towards 80% yes, 20% no. It's gone up that high.
Those are rookie numbers, Disciple. Those are rookie numbers. You got to bump those numbers up. Tommy, come on. Talk some sense into this motherfucker.
I'm walking into Joe Shane's office, and I'm doing my best. Jerry Maguire, show me the money. Show me the money. You have to pay this guy. There's quarterbacks in this league. If we get cute, Atlanta, the Jets would be a playoff team with this guy at quarterback. Tennessee could be moving on from Tannehill. I know they have Malik Willis. But look at the team we're playing this week. They're rolling out Nick Foles. Matt Ryan is going to be gone. There are teams, Detroit, right? There are teams that are going to be quarterback needy teams. If you don't show this guy the money, it's over. He's going to walk. We can't get cute. There's other teams that'll need him. There's going to be a Daniel Jones market. I'm starting at 3 years, $25 million per season, a $75 million deal. If I have to, like I said last week, I'm tagging him. It's $31 million. The cap's going to go up. We're going to figure it out. You got to show him the money. I'm sitting here. I'm Teddy KGB eating my Oreos. Pay that man his money.
Pay that man his money.
I feel every single Giants podcast that I've listened to this week, somehow a Rounders reference has been worked into it. I absolutely love it. I mean, look at the team that we just played. Does anyone really think that Daniel Jones can't be a plus Kirk Cousins? Like, his floor is Kirk Cousins with wheels. Like, yes, Justin Jefferson is an absolute freak. I would love to see what Daniel Jones can do with a weapon that's even 70% of him. But look at TJ Hockenson, a very solid tight end, an above average tight end even. But this dude, I mean, that touchdown grab that he made with two Giants draped all over him and he plucked that ball out. I mean, the players on that team help elevate the quarterback in the same way we expect quarterbacks to elevate the talent around him. Imagine what Daniel Jones could do with one or two actual threats. Tommy, you said earlier, it was really great to see Daniel Jones' precision because there was these precise balls that had to be played with, you know, other defenders around him. Giants fans, for the love of God, use your eyes. Look at the tape. How many passes were caught by Vikings receivers that did not have a Giants defender within 5 to 10 yards of them? I could make those throws. Every single one of Daniel Jones' throws, or I would be damn well willing to bet 90%, have to be perfect because our wide receivers cannot make any separation. It does not happen, or at least without any consistency. And the one time he wasn't perfect, their fucking DB actually catches an interception, something we seem incapable of doing.
We're in court right now, right? So let's look at precedents. Eli Manning, by all accounts of the Daniel Jones haters, with how he played his first couple of years, we would have looked to move on from him. And for sure, Phil Simms, today, he's cut. He was injury prone. He lost the job. Cut. Guy won two Super Bowls. I know he was hurt for one of them. Got us to a second. Hostetler won it. Eli, two Super Bowl MVPs. You got to have patience with these guys. Look what he did with Isaiah Hodgins on Sunday. He made the guy look like a bona fide number one wide receiver. Obviously, it's Hodgins learning and getting better every day. But what this guy's been asked to do with the lack of offensive weapons, the drops, the injuries, the lack of an offensive line, we've already had our owner come out and say it. We've screwed the kid up over these years with, you know, different offensive coordinators and coaches. He's got a Brian Daboll, a Mike Kafka. Look what he's been able to do. I think he's our quarterback of the future. I'm not saying $200 million with 150 guaranteed, but we got to start off at 3 for 75, look at that $30 million number, and see what he looks like with weapons next year.
Disciple, this might be your last opportunity to plead your case. Let's put on your Charlie Kelly Birdlaw hats over here. You said
jump on the A train. Jump on the A train with us.
You said it's 80-20. What's this 20% bullshit?
I don't know. I mean, here's all
you're
I'll
the one
you.
To know.
What we don't know this regime's plans, and that's a good thing. I mean, I don't want it. Like, finally, there's some deception here. You know, we always knew what the previous two GMs were going to do. We knew that they were drafting Daniel Jones a month before the draft. Anyway. Furthermore,
Stalling, Tommy. He's shitting his pants He knows he's wrong.
I know I'm wrong, but I need to be that guy here.
Well, let's hear your rationale because the jury is headed
out.
Do
you think there's some kind of compromise in which they franchise him or sign him to a short-term deal and draft a quarterback?
No.
With 11 picks in the draft next year.
Stupidity. It'd be the height of stupidity.
I'm not saying draft high. I'm saying draft in the mid rounds and develop. Because listen,
the Giants are heading to the playoffs in the first year of a rebuild. If they invest in Daniel Jones in any capacity, it would be foolishness not to continue to invest in this roster in positions that will help this team.
All right, look at Davis Webb's probably gone. Then you got Tyrod Taylor, who's shown that he's injury prone. You need a backup anyway. I do think they're going to draft a quarterback at some point with 11 picks, and they might even trade for more picks in the draft.
Okay, I am done with this outrageous line of
it's
question.
Not
you're
that
overruled,
over, it's not
overruled, sir. You stole Objection. Fizzy drinks. I said good day. So, disciple, if the stop this posturing. If the season were to end today and you are Joe Shane, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm today? Signing him. I'm signing him 3 years, $75 million, and that's it.
Love it. Book it. We've got him, Tommy. What do you got? What's your final offer?
I'm there with that 3 year deal, $75 million. I'm going as high as that franchise tag to keep him here. And then we extend him and we see what happens next year if he puts up the numbers. We got to pay him. We got to keep him. You can't lowball him. I think if we lowball him, his guy can chop him elsewhere.
I'm full flipped from where I was a couple of weeks ago, being more a medium. Yeah, of the
you were
road.
Down a few weeks ago.
I was trying to be more reasonable.
That, no, you're saying that I'm trying to be more reasonable. I'm trying to be more reasonable. You're saying I'm Mr. Flip Flop. Here you are, flip flopping. How okay. Ironic. I see, love look, democracy.
There's that fire, baby. There's that fire brimstone from the disciple. We needed it. Here it is. I'm full back, baby. 5 years, 130, book it. That's going to
wow.
look like a steal.
That's too much
in two
for me.
Years. It's the same amount of money except a little kicker and two extra years. If they're in for three, they're in for five.
So
book it.
How do you,
let's go.
How do you structure? How do you hold on? How do you structure that deal? You do less money than the first 2 years, so you can actually sign some wide receiver, tight end, and guard talent.
No, we're in it for the long haul. Front load that contract. We have a lot of cap space over the next year or two. Over the next 2-3 years, the likes of Dexter, Andrew Thomas are going to have to be paid. We're already going to be looking at Aziz and McKinney over the next 2 seasons. Front load it, and if God forbid it all goes to shit, you can cut them for minimal dead cap in a couple of years. But 5 years, 130, book it. As the courts, as I will go ahead and say, is by large and unanimous, at least now, this will be the final proceeding, pending new evidence. So for now, the court is officially adjourned. Now let's move forward and take a closer look at the Giants' win and in matchup. This Sunday, New Year's Day, against the Indianapolis Colts at MetLife, Disciple and Mac will be in the building. Let's go, Giants! How we feeling, boys?
You have to feel good about this matchup. We have two extra days of rest. Nick Foles has cement shoes. Their offensive line, porous. Jeff Saturday, TV anchor turned NFL coach. If the Giants don't win this game with conviction, I don't think we deserve to go to the playoffs. They have to win this game. They absolutely have to win by 7-plus points. Please, I know they never make it easy. They don't blow anybody out. But please do us all a favor. I want to celebrate early. I want to do it's going to be a fucking party in that stadium, man. If they do win, I'm telling you, it's going to be the greatest day that I can remember in that stadium since maybe, dare I say, the 2012 playoff game against Atlanta.
I was going to say, is it crazy to say that it is the most important game hosted
it's
in that
be,
stadium for the New York
yes,
Giants?
Since I'm telling you, Atlanta? It is going to be that loud because that game was a level above the other games, any other regular season game I've ever heard. It was that, and my dad said that was it was really loud. It wasn't close to that 2000 NFC Conference Championship, but it was. He said it was kind of close. But it wasn't at that level. That's just crazy. I don't know if we'll ever get to that level again.
Well, they look bad on Monday Night Football.
Horrendous.
You know, I think they look like a team that's going to come in wearing those white jerseys, waving the white flag. They just want to get the season over with. Just end the season. The old Jets motto. I don't think these guys have anything to play for. Nick Foles is not the guy that took over and won a Super Bowl. You know, he's moved around the league.
Doesn't that scare you, though, a little bit, Tommy? Or am I crazy to be a little scared of – I'm Eli Manning. I'm not superstitious, but I'm a little suspicious.
I look at – he's their third quarterback of the season. If they had a better choice, that person would be out on the field. Does the fact, you know, you're thinking, you know, Philly special – what did he do against Tom Brady? Scare you a little bit that if he just has one day, they also don't have Jonathan Taylor. Their offensive line is a mess. They have one of the best guards maybe in the history of the league who's had a down year, even though he made the Pro Bowl in Quentin Nelson. Maybe we get a Dory Jackson back. You know, last week we're a Dory Jackson, Xavier McKinney away from winning that game. We get a Dory Jackson back against a team like this that does not have as much talent as the Minnesota Vikings. I like our chances at home. The place should be rocking. There's going to be some hungover Giants fans coming off of New Year's Eve. But
just got to keep drinking.
Day, a big day.
Just got to start drinking in the morning, baby.
I can't stop drinking now. I might die.
To me, we'll always be Giants Stadium. It's going to be a big day there. And I think we put them away. Everything else we needed to have happened has already happened. Just go and do your job, as our favorite former defensive coordinator would say. Do your job, and you're in the playoffs. And then we rest up and get healthy, and we're there. We're playing playoff football. We get the roster set. We get everyone healthy and ready to go.
Well, let's pull it back just slightly, because I appreciate you talking me off the ledge, but I call it Leather Knight, Horror Stories, Disciple, or whatever you want to call it, but the Big Dick Nick energy scares me a little bit.
No, wait, hold on. Somebody said this to me on Twitter, because I was like, yo, if we don't beat this team, like, we don't deserve the playoffs.
Dable arriving.
Yes, at Dable arriving. You know, you've seen the videos. You've seen some of my tweets, I'm sure. But listen.
Tracksuit guy.
Yes, I am the man in the tracksuit. In the chain. Yes, that's me. But so I say, and then somebody was like, and somebody that's not a Giants fan that follows me posts the box score from the 2017 Nick Foles versus Giants, where the Eagles were like 14-2 and the Giants were 2-14. He's like, and Foles threw four touchdowns. He goes, what if Nick Foles just has your number, Big Dick Nick? And I look at him, I look at this tweet, I say, let's be honest. This is the best Eagles team in history versus literally the worst team in Giants history. I like our chances this time.
Let's bring it, baby. Then let's flip it over, because it sounds like Nick Foles, led by Michael Pittman Jr. and a couple other cast of characters.
Mo Alley Cox. I like Mo Alley Cox. I wanted the Giants to sign him, actually. He's a good athletic mid-level tight end. Yeah.
Yeah, he's nothing to be afraid of, though. But let's turn it over to the defense, because prior to the start of this season, this team was a dark horse Super Bowl candidate. Obviously, that goes to show that preseason it absolutely means
people have the Giants drafted in top five. Come on, man.
But we can, despite them being ranked 25th in total defense in the NFL, I think that might be a bad byproduct of everything else going off. I mean, their defensive line, Kwity Paye, a high draft pick defensive lineman from Michigan a couple years back, is solid. DeForest Buckner is an all-star. Unique Ngakoue isn't what he was, but can still get after the quarterback. And is anyone else? We just talked about how perfect Daniel Jones has to be. Stephon Gilmore still got it, baby. Like, he covers people so well. He plasters people in coverage. I am nervous about a couple of mistakes leading to points the other direction. Like, this defense is not something that can be overlooked, despite how confident we may or may not be about the matchup of the Giants defense against Nick Foles and this cast of characters.
Yeah, I don't think we should get, I don't think any team should be slept on, especially in this league, especially late in the season. I mean, these guys, like, Monday, they didn't look good. And like I said, the Giants have two full days, two and a half even, because they had the late game on Monday. We had the early game on Saturday. That's significant.
If the Giants put anywhere near the same type of pressure on Nick Foles that they
it's going to be a really long day for him. Yeah.
It's going to be a long day for them. They're not going to be able to play from behind. We have to jump out, go down the field, put points on the board. Do what the Giants never do. Go down the field and score a touchdown and go up 7-0. Put all the pressure on Foles. You know, just the names we mentioned earlier in the show, Jalen Smith, Landon Collins, Dex, Kayvon. We had 5 or 6 sacks, not to mention how many times he was hit by, you know, a defensive back coming off the corner, Pinnock having pressure a couple times last week. If we can do these things and we continue to draw things up on defense the way we have been, you know, with Wink, I think it's a long day for Nick Foles.
Yet again, a big Dexter Lawrence Leo game, that pressure in the middle. If he can't step up in the pocket, there's nowhere to go. But I will say the big matchup for me is Evan Neal. Whether it's Unique Ngakoue, 9.5 sacks, or Kwity Paye, 6 sacks lining up against him, he has looked overmatched. The floor is not falling. This kid's got a lot of ways to go. He might not be fully healthy. He had a tough injury his rookie year. But if there's anything that can set this game sideways, it is a complete destruction of the right side of our offensive line. And the Colts defense has the ability to do that. And with that, let's move forward into our weekly segment called Four Down Territory, where we look at the top four things the Giants need to do to clinch a playoff berth against the Colts. God, num, 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 num. Those words taste so good coming out of my mouth. All right, first down. Who do we got?
First down, the Giants have got to win the turnover battle. Their record when they win the turnover battle is really good, and their record when they lose the turnover battle is really bad. Therefore, we got to keep it positive, baby.
I love it. Turnover battle. Can't hurt yourself. Second down. Tommy, coming to you.
We got to put pressure on the quarterback. We've done it all year. Wink is blitzing more than he's ever blitzed as a defensive coordinator. We lead the league in blitz percentage. We just need to get pressure, whether we're getting there or not.
Third down, Disciple.
Clean up the special teams play, man. I mean, special teams has not been a strength of this team in a while. You had a block punt. The punt coverage in some games hasn't been great. It's unfortunate because special teams are so simple yet so complex. I just want to see no block punts, man. Let's go. Come on. What are we doing here? All you got to do is get the ball in his hands and have him kick him, man. Come on, man. Come on,
hey,
man.
I love Thomas McGahee, but he has to officially be on notice. The Giants
The seat is getting hot. The seat is getting hot. Yeah.
And, hey, there was a lot of chatter about how Joe Judge might have been mingling in the special teams. I'll tell you what. Special teams wasn't a liability last year, if we want to say anything about that. So I love me some Thomas McGahee, but it's got to be warming up a little bit. Fourth down, bring it home.
You got to stay true to your game plan. We've seen throughout the year when we go in with a game plan, carry it out, whether it's Daniel Jones or Saquon Barkley, we've been able to win football games. And we've seen now what Daniel Jones can do. We know he can do it. They're going up against an inferior roster. I think we're the better team when we line up our 11 versus their 11. And we just got to stick to it.
And I'll just add my last Daniel Jones piece of that because I couldn't agree more, Tommy. Look, for everybody out there that wanted to say that didn't trust Jones, the game plan dictated a pass-heavy offense against the Vikings, and they put the ball in his hands. They truly are. It's not just coach speak when they talk about game plans and weekly changes to how they're going to attack other teams. I think this Sunday game or Saturday game, excuse me, was a clear indication Dable has not been lying to us all year. And with that, let's roll right into Huge Predictions. Huge Predictions is not brought to you by Facilo Automotive, but we are very much still working on it. So if anybody knows their VP of marketing, please hit us up at bigblueallday.com. Tonight on Huge Predictions, we will pick the Giants' New Year's Day matchup against the Indianapolis Colts at MetLife Stadium. What's your scores, fellas?
I'm just going to say it. Let's go. 24-9. Giants. Chef's kiss.
Love it.
We're going to hit that magic number. We're going to hit 30 points on Sunday. 30-12. The New York Football Giants. And you're sitting back enjoying beers, rushing up to get them before the cutoff and partying your way into the parking lot, 30-12.
Gentlemen, I'm optimistic, and I will predict a huge win for the New York Football Giants, but I am not dumb, and this team are the cardiac kids reincarnate. It's going to be another nail biter at MetLife. Butts will be in the seats screaming till the very end. 20-13. Giants sack Nick Foles to end the game. Let's go to the freaking playoffs. Now let's not bicker over who killed who, and let's end tonight the fact that the NFL still is not aware that the Giants are young.
They're aggressive.
They're improving.
New York
Football
Giants.
God, I love that. For the Disciple and Tommy, I'm Mac. We're Big Blue all goddamn day. Good night.